Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Final hour of Grant and Danny. Flurry of activity for the Nationals means we got to get the latest. Todd Dybas in 30 minutes. Bottom of the hour. Five moves in about 4 days. Is the roster set? Might they still make a push for Josh Donaldson? But a bevy of moves in the NFL today. It looks like Matt Rhule's going to be the next head coach of the Carolina Panthers. Did you see the reported contract he's getting? Here's your new...
So I guessed at the numbers and was about half right.
Here's your new starting point for negotiating with a college head coach that you want to bring to the NFL. 7 years, $60 million.
Oh, hello.
And that deal could be worth as much as $70 million, according to league sources in an Adam Schefter report. 7 and 60. We said he was making fifth most money in the Big 12, right around $4.5 million a year at Baylor. So stands to reason he was going to get $5, $6 million, you'd have to imagine, at least a five, maybe a six-year deal. But 7 and 60. I think he pit the Giants against the Panthers and went back and forth a little bit. And probably got the sweetest deal possible. Good
more
for him.
$8 million per. Coaching at Temple just a handful of years ago. Wow.
It's the way it should work. Two companies want you. One of them is going to have to land you by out punting the other one pass and kick contest.
Woo-hoo.
So the Panthers did that. The head coach for the Giants, after Rhule got that offer from the Panthers, is Joe Judge, who was the special teams coordinator and the wide receivers coach for the New England Patriots. He's just not all that well known. Played college ball at Temple. Was apparently in the running to be a college coach as well at the same time as interviewing with the Giants, and they have decided to make him their next head coach, replacing Pat Shurmur, who they fired after two seasons. While not a lot is known about him, Giants fans can take some solace in the fact that he comes over having been in the kitchen with Bill Belichick as Belichick was wearing his apron the last several seasons while he was a special teams coach.
It's just funny to think about sometimes where the hotbeds are. I remember for like several years in a row, it was like, did you play or coach at Miami of Ohio? And I never talked, and like, there was like an ESPN, I wonder if it was like E60 or a 30 for 30, but like the cradle of coaching. Now is Temple the thing? You have experience at Temple? You're now the hot, sexy candidate? Or do you have to have a Temple affiliation? Just weird how those trends kind of come and go. But the Rhule number I want to get back to, that is eye-popping, is what I would say. I guess if you want a guy that's got a cushy gig in a college program or is going to be the hot coaching candidate in college for at least years and years and years on end, you've got to really do an awful lot to entice that gentleman, and mission accomplished, I suppose, for Carolina. Wow.
Meanwhile, in D.C., news on the Redskins coaching staff today. Kevin O'Connell is going to be elsewhere. He is moving on. The Redskins are going to be hiring Scott Turner, it sounds like, as their offensive coordinator. Turner finished last season in Carolina calling plays at the end of the year for the Panthers. That is the role he will have here. He'll be a play caller in Washington for Dwayne Haskins in Haskins' sophomore season. You look at the journey for Scott Turner. He was a grad assistant at Oregon State in 2005, came back to Northern Virginia as Norval Eugene's son. Remember, he was here when his dad was the head coach. He went to high school, as I mentioned, in Vienna. But he coached at South County High School from 06 to 07. He left South County High School after a couple years to be an offensive assistant at Pittsburgh, where he became a wide receivers coach in 2010. Then he got a quality control job with the Panthers, 2011 and 2012. His first position job in the NFL was with the Cleveland Browns in 2013. He went to the Minnesota Vikings and coached their quarterbacks from 2014 to 2016. He then left Minnesota and went to Michigan, where he was an offensive assistant in 2017. Then he ended up back in Carolina as a quarterbacks coach, 2018 and 2019, before last year finally becoming an offensive coordinator along with his quarterback coaching title. And he was basically working under his dad, Norv Turner, at that job. Now, for the first time, he's going to try to put some roots down as an OC and as a play caller here in Washington in 2020. All the things I just talked about, by the way, that was 15 years of moving his family all over the place.
I know, right?
These coaches, man, it's crazy the journeys that they go on. But it started 15 years ago at Oregon State, and now he's back in D.C., where his dad was once the head coach of the Redskins as their OC for Ron Rivera, it sounds like.
So I got to do a lot of learning. I mean, I got to figure out, is he running, you know, pure West Coast? Does he want a fullback that catches passes like Norv wanted Larry Centers? I mean, is he wide receiver friendly? Is he quarterback friendly? Is he tight end friendly? What's his basis? What terminology is he going to use? How different it is from Kevin O'Connell? To me, it's still a wild card. I mean, I don't even know how many games he was coordinating down there in Carolina or calling the plays for. It sounds like it was just a handful down the stretch, maybe. I don't know. But
yeah, I think it's hard to look at the Panthers' numbers, tendencies, percentages of doing things last year and make that about him, because basically it wasn't until Ron Rivera was fired, I don't think, and they made some changes. They basically wanted to get a look at guys. If you go back and watch, and I just read a bunch of the stuff from the David Tepper press conference, there were a few guys he said he wanted to basically take a look at, and one of them was Scott Turner, and that's why they gave him more responsibility, and he started calling the plays. So I just think to look at, to your point, like what they did in September, October, and say, oh, this is what he is as an OC, probably not fair.
Yeah, and you know, he gave the ball to Christian McCaffrey a bunch. Well, wouldn't you? There's no Christian McCaffrey here, right?
Yeah, I mean, that your personnel changes. I think a lot of things about you probably change as a philosopher of offense when you get a new collection of weapons and a new personnel group, no? So it's hard to say. People are saying, what kind of coordinator is he? I have no idea. Like the rest of y'all, have to go back and dig. And you know, the one difference, I guess, is we get to ask people. I mean, I'll start making calls and talk to people around the league as quick as possible. But the fact is, I think the bigger story here is less Scott Turner and more Kevin O'Connell.
Mm-hmm.
I was really hoping that Dwayne Haskins was not going to have to learn a new offense.
Exactly.
And he's going to have to. I think that's damaging. Do you guys? I mean, is that a big deal, or are we making it too big of a deal? How about that question? 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. Is it a big deal that Dwayne Haskins will have a new OC and have to learn another offense, yes or no?
Big. It's a big deal. This has claimed several quarterbacks, right? We don't think of it as the end-all, be-all, because it's just football. It's, you know, the way Craig Hoffman puts it, I think, is very good. It's like learning a brand-new language with no basis. Right. In addition to learning how to be an NFL quarterback, in addition to learning, you know, to read defenses while thinking about what offensive play or strategy or audible goes against those defenses, just pure memorization and repetition. It takes time. Now, if you've been doing this for decades, with all due respect to any young quarterback, a guy like Case Keenum, who's been doing this for 10 years in the league, learning a new offense every year, not as big a deal as a rookie still learning to play in the NFL, now entering into a second year guy. I mean, look at the hamstringing of someone like Jason Campbell, for example. It had a different system every 5 minutes, it seemed like. I have no idea what Campbell's ceiling was. And that's the point. We don't know how good some of these guys can be, because what happens is a bad team drafts a quarterback. It doesn't work out right away because the team was bad. Now the quarterback's got to learn a new system. Next thing you know, he never reaches his potential. And he's a punchline in 5, 6, 7 years. He's Jamarcus Russell. He's Akili Smith. He's, I don't know, Tim Couch. You can pick it, right? So I'm hoping this isn't that big of a setback, and it's a very similar set of schemes, and hoping terminology is the same, but I won't know until Turner gets here. But this is a huge deal for Haskins' development. We're really talking about six, and if you're kind, a few games of steady improvement that we saw, which could be absolutely undone by making things mechanical again, where you've got to think about what I'm doing before instead of just instinctively doing it because you know it so well. This is hard for anybody, let alone a guy that needed tons and tons of work coming out of Ohio State.
I would have to go back to actually look up the games where he called the plays, but just off the first thing I look at here, something that is pro Danny Ruye that you're going to like. The Panthers threw the ball on first down about 57% of the time last year.
So can you read it one more time for me?
So 247 plays on first and 10 were passes. Only 193 of those first and 10 plays were runs.
Oh, it's so good. When it hits your lips, it's so good.
That's just something to throw out there that might be anti-Bill Callahan of Scott Turner. But again, it's hard to look at the numbers just yet without actually doing a dive into which games he was in control of. 800-636-1067. I don't like this for Haskins. I wanted him to have continuity with his coordinator. I didn't want him to have to learn another offense. I think, like you've mentioned, the second year that you go into as a quarterback. Mike and Kyle Shanahan said this to me. I've had Matt LaFleur and Sean McVay all tell me that that second offseason is the most important one in a quarterback's career. And now you're basically, you're not mastering an offense. You're not digging deeper into what O'Connell's teaching you and going to the second and the third level of these concepts. You're relearning. You know, you're picking up potentially a new language. I'm curious to see just how different the offense is and how many similarities there are. I also think it is good that Turner worked with Cam Newton, mm-hmm. who's a big-bodied, strong-armed, kind of slower-deliveried quarterback who, while more athletic than Dwayne Haskins, obviously, I think there are some comps there. You know, in terms of, this is a guy we've comped Haskins to in the past, like the Roethlisberger-Newton types. When Newton stays in the pocket and throws it, he moves around, runs more than Haskins.
Yeah, I mean,
who's more athletic than people think.
Yeah, he's got a rushing record with you know, double-digit touchdowns. That's not a Haskins
But in terms of guys that kind of have the big, longer deliveries and the strong arm, it's not like he's been working like he's Greg Roman or something with Lamar Jackson and did something completely different quarterback-wise than what he was doing with Haskins. Is this a big deal or not that O'Connell's leaving, that Haskins is starting over with a new offense? That's the question on Grant and Danny. 800-636-1067 right here on The Fan.
EMP-180 is a weight loss and nutrition company, and they're excellent at what they do. Don't just take my word for it, or Grant's word for it, or the testimonials they have on their website from people that have lost 15, 20, 30, 40, 50, 100 plus pounds. Take it from the Washington Capitals. That's right. EMP-180 is partnered with the Washington Capitals. Okay, you've got to hit them up if you've got resolution goals, if you want to look better in clothes, in pictures, you want to be the self that you used to be. Hit up EMP-180 Weight Loss. Let them help you.
855-888-0180. 855-888-0180. That's the number. Go to EMP180.com. I did it a couple of years ago. Danny and I down from where we were, and we are happy about it. I got my brothers on the program because they were unhealthy, and they wanted to add years to their lives. So they lost, you know, a combined 200 pounds very casually. No big deal. EMP-180 works. They will make changes in your life that help you, that make you happier and healthier. Check out EMP-180 to start 2020. Dwayne Haskins got off to a slow and an ineffective start for several weeks. It was a little bit ominous, actually, watching him play quarterback for the Redskins. You and I kind of saying, man, this is more of a project than we thought. You take a guy at 15, you think he might be a little bit better quickly than Dwayne Haskins was. But by the end of last season, he showed enough that you can dream on the upside. 19 of 28 in a 2-touchdown game for 261 against the Eagles at a 121 rating. And then against the Giants, he had 2 touchdowns, and he went 12 of 15, was really accurate and decisive. Ball came out quickly, spun it to the edges with that arm strength we always knew he had. Buck 33.5, was on pace for 260 and 4. And he ended up getting hurt on the first play of the second half. But in those final two games, over 6 quarters, 4 touchdowns, no picks, and right around 420 yards of completing right about 75% of his passes, he was excellent. For the year, nothing all that exciting about a 76 rating and 7 touchdowns and 7 picks, but you have to have watched where he started and where he ended to really understand the progress that he made.
Yeah.
And most of you guys listening did that. He's only 22. He only started for 1 year in college. He came a long way. But he came a long way with Kevin O'Connell. And Kevin O'Connell's out, and it looks like Scott Turner is going to be the new offensive coordinator. We both think this is a big deal. I think we're a little bit biased and somewhat tainted because of Jason Campbell,
mm-hmm.
who had coordinator after coordinator after coordinator, and eventually said it was a big reason why his time here didn't go that well. Patrick Ramsey, similarly. We've seen it with other guys. I don't think it benefits Baker Mayfield, even though the coordinator was promoted to head coach, that he's had 2 staffs and 2 different looks in 2 years. Generally, it's certainly not a benefit. It makes it harder for you to be good. It's not a deal breaker, but the question we're saying is little deal or big deal.
And people are taking this as an insult to Haskins, and it's not.
Well, it's got nothing to do with
that. It has nothing to do with that.
In fact, he's a victim if, in fact, it's a bad thing.
Yeah, and that's kind of my point here. I mean, the analogy that I would use is if TK comes to us tomorrow and says, hey, guys, by the start of next football season, we're doing the radio show in French. And you guys saying it's not a big deal going, that's radio. It's the same. It's radio. Just do the radio show. You guys just do the radio show. I know it's a different language. Everything about it's different, but it's the same mechanics. Grant brings you back from break. We do a sponsored read, and you guys talk sports for a little while. And then 11:45, do le double play. That's what we're doing. My point is, it's so hard.
Here's what
it's
I hope so I see from Scott Turner, by the way. Do what Dwayne Haskins does well.
Yes, please.
No huddle, up-tempo, quick game, spread offense, receivers out wide, running short routes at the line of scrimmage 4 or 5 yards and turn it around, get the ball out of his hand as fast as possible. Don't have him stand back there and pat it and try to rely on his arm strength to drive it through windows 4 seconds after the snap. I hope he watches the film. He comes up with a plan. He says, okay, this is what Haskins does well. Let's do this. Let's major in this. Don't make him adapt to you. You adapt to him. It shouldn't really matter all that much what Scott Turner was doing last year. Here's what Dwayne Haskins does really well. This is your offense. That's how this should work. Ryan's in Reston on the Fan. Do you think it's a big deal that O'Connell's out in terms of Haskins?
No, I actually don't. I think it's probably a good thing that we're taking care of this now. It sounds like O'Connell probably wouldn't be here next year anyways. The team's not going to be good next year, in my opinion. So why not just rip the Band-Aid off now, get a new coordinator in, establish something, and then that big leap you're talking about from first year to second year with the player can kind of be the second to third year for Haskins with the new coordinator going into the season 2 years from now. We just restock with some more draft picks with another bad season.
So my only question is, I don't even say question, my only rebuttal, thanks for the call, is if he doesn't play well this season, it's probably too late. Like, if he does, if he has another year with similar numbers, like a bad touchdown interception ratio and the ups and the downs and the struggles, like, it's not just Haskins' job going into year three and it's okay because it's a second year of Turner. You're now looking for a quarterback. That's the difference.
Well, and beyond that, you know, think about as you progress through high school, right? Is a sophomore better able to deal with something than a junior? I guess what I'm saying is this is going to happen anyway, so do it right now. I'd rather have a more mature 2 years in the league player deal with it than a guy that's played well for six quarters. And I like Haskins a lot. This is not a Haskins indictment. I'm simply saying 2 years in the league would be way more, I feel like he or anybody else would be way more prepared to switch things midstream. Like when Matt Ryan changes coordinators, we're fine. Guy's been playing for a decade plus, right? When, you could pick your quarterback that's been around, has to change coordinators that's established. When Aaron Rodgers changes coordinators, that'd make a hill of beans. Same with Tom Brady going from McDaniels to O'Brien. He'll be fine. A second-year player, that's really hard.
Let's go to Vaughn in Alexandria on G&D. What's up, Vaughn?
What's up, Grant and Danny? This is what I'll say. You got to have to look at the positive of this, right? Keep in mind, when Dwayne Haskins first came in, it was another offense. Kevin O'Connell realized that he has to change the offense, so he was already off to a slow start. He started changing the offense to fit what Haskins does well. Now you have a new offensive coordinator that can grow with it. They both grown and maturing at the same time. So when you want your player to learn a new system, like he didn't know that system, he got the grassroots in. He knows how to be a professional now. Now you mature him into the offense that you want from day one. You have all offseason, you have all training camp, to help him learn with the language, and it'll be his offense. So if you gear the offense around his strength, like you just said, Grant, now you fit it around Dwayne, now that he already knows the grassroots of how to be a professional, you grow, you take what you can, the positive of it, and then you grow and mature with him as time goes on. And like the last caller said, it's a fresh start for both of them. If O'Connell was to leave in the next year or two, he would be doing the same thing anyway.
Mm. Does O'Connell
Great
leaving,
call.
Too? Thanks for the call. It's really good. It makes me think he has a year left on his deal. If he really wanted to be here, I think he would be here, by the way.
Yeah, me too.
Okay? If he's sold on Dwayne Haskins, wouldn't he have wanted to hitch his wagon to Haskins for another year and maybe see where that goes?
In theory, but I think that avoids the essential, you know, kind of the inherent toxicity still in the organization.
Sure.
That it might be nice one day when Ron Rivera gets the ability to clean house, but I've seen enough dirt in that building. Where, listen, if it doesn't go well next year, Dan Snyder, you think he's just going to remain behind the scenes and not start tampering as he did every other time he's hired anybody?
Again, I'm spitballing, but this is kind of...
I hear what you're saying.
But I guess my point is, Turner is signing up to work with Haskins.
Yep.
Haskins was basically thrusted on O'Connell and said, make this work.
Mm-hmm.
Because the football guys in the building last year said, not so sure. And he was one of them, right? So the point is... You got a guy who's agreeing to come to Washington to work with Dwayne Haskins. That could very much benefit and bode well for Haskins.
But what the caller just laid out is the ideal scenario.
Agreed.
But that requires organizational patience. That requires the big picture. That requires long-term thinking.
A lot of things that haven't been the words of the day around here in a long time.
Yeah, not something we're known for.
Alex is in the district. What's up, Alex?
Hey, how's it going? The first two callers pretty much touched on the same thing I was calling for, saying long-term, if you're going to go, might as well go now. Hope to have Rivera and the rest of the coaching staff on board for the next 4 years. But the one key point that you also mentioned on the offense that Carolina ran last year, them and Washington were both in the bottom five in yards per completion and yards per attempt. So they already threw the ball similarly to how we would do it with Haskins anyway. So it seems like that's something that will come on board with Scott coming here. And I'm hoping that he'll fit that offense with Haskins. Thanks for taking my call.
Good call, buddy. It's good info.
800-636-1067 is the number. Want to hear what you guys think. Kevin O'Connell's out. Haskins finally started to show promise in December. Really looked like he might be turning a corner, and now he's going to have to learn a new offense. Is this a big deal? Is this detrimental to his development? You're listening to The Fan. Moving on as offensive coordinator, Scott Turner going to become the next OC for the Redskins. That it seems like the way this team's headed, it's going to be defense first anyway, right?
Yep.
So I think this is going to be more of a ball-controlled, score 20 points, protect the football type offense next year if you're trying to get to a point where you're winning seven games or so.
You would think.
Ron Rivera was hired and brought in Jack Del Rio with this defensive roster because the plan is to try to get back to what they did when Alex Smith was healthy a couple years ago, in my opinion. So this coming year, maybe you're not going to break off everything in your arsenal if you're Scott Turner for Dwayne Haskins. You just put some on his plate and say, okay, here's what we're working toward. But if you're an offensive coordinator in this league anymore who's worth your weight and you're worth your salt, it's not about you and how you like to move the ball and what you like philosophically and what your paradigm is. It's about your weapons, your players. So if I'm Scott Turner and I show up here, I go, what do I have? I got a wide receiver in Terry McLaurin who can get behind anybody. Let me design ways to get him open deep. I got a guy in McLaurin with enough speed to catch a bubble and make it a big play. I got a running back, if he's on the field, in Darius Geis, who almost single-handedly beat me in Charlotte this year, who I watched front row when one of my first games calling plays, be great. I got a wide receiver in Steven Sims in the slot who's a mismatch. Linebackers can't cover him.
Yeah.
Some corners have issues with his footwork. He needs to catch the ball a little more effectively, but that's a weapon I can involve. That's one of the guys Kevin O'Connell sang the praises of late this season to the media. And then Haskins. What does he do well? What doesn't he do well? Quick game seems comfortable for him. No huddle. Up-tempo offense. You take those things, and that's your starting kit for your new offense. That's the way, to me, you got to build this thing.
Yeah, I think that's changed over the years. You know, used to be the coach's system, adapt or get cut. Now it's, we got to cater to what our guys do. I mean, think of the greatest example of that, of course, is Kyle and Mike Shanahan saying, well, this is what this guy does. Let's completely run an offense that we've never run before and, you know, kind of figure it out as we go. I'm a fan of that. I like that. I like the idea of catering to a player's skill set, while at the same time, you don't let the guy, you know, dictate your entire organization, but you do recognize, hey, we've invested in this guy. Let's get the most out of him. He's obviously an important piece, thinking of the quarterback when you draft him. So I'm hoping that Scott Turner has kind of learned that lesson. I mean, listen, the pedigree's good. I mean, his dad could coordinate offense. As much as people like to make fun of him as a head coach, he was incredibly pedestrian in that regard, just the way his teams were prepared or not. But that guy can make offense happen. He has some really innovative ideas that people are still using today, throwing to running backs in spades. I mean, that was his bread and butter, finding a way to, you know, make you account for the full width of the field so that he can get what he wanted up the field. He's a good offensive mind. I'm hoping Scott Turner's got some of those same principles, kind of 2.0 version. I'd be into that.
Let's go to Bill and Lorton. Bill, you okay with O'Connell leaving and Haskins here with a new offense in year two?
Yeah, hey, Grant, Danny. Yeah, I'm okay with it because Haskins, you know, he has to grow into being a quarterback. And just like one of the other callers said, what better coach than to have Scott Turner, you know, teaching him. But I tell you one thing, Grant, they better put a better offensive line in front of that guy and get that running game going as well.
It's funny to me. Thank you for the call. He said, what better coach than Scott Turner? As if he's got, like, these credentials. as if he's talking about, like, Bill Belichick or something.
We got a four-game sample of Scott calling plays, right?
There's probably a lot of coaches. Like, who better than Scott Turner? Has there ever been a better offensive mind? No disrespect to Scott Turner, but I think he'd tell you there's probably a few guys.
He might.
We don't know anything about this guy.
He might turn into the next Eric Coryell. Who knows?
Funny phraseology. You know, the diction on what better guy than Scott Turner? Well, I could think of a couple, maybe. Bill in Springfield, what's up?
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Good, buddy.
Good.
Hey, the one thing I'm agreeing with a lot of the callers that are calling in. I think this kid is a sponge. I think he needs to learn the NFL, and he's got the whole offseason to learn the playbook, study, grow as far as in size, and become a better person as far as a player. Offensive line, yes, they need a bigger offensive line. They need a better offensive line. I mean, perfect example is when they threw RG3 in, you know, and let him do his thing. It was something that the NFL hadn't seen halfway through the season. They figured out how to get him. They got him. They hurt him. So you build up the right personnel around this guy, I think he's going to be doing great from where he's at.
Thank you. It's interesting. It seems to me like everybody that we've talked to so far on the phones is fine with this and doesn't think this is an issue for the quarterback. But yet, it's something that you hear quarterbacks reference as a problem in why things didn't work out for them or their development all the time. Like, look at Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay this year. Aaron Rodgers is super smart. Is he a sponge? Is he cerebral? Is he intuitive? That guy had basically one offense his entire career. And this year, having mastered everything and one of the great quarterbacks ever, and there's nothing he hasn't seen before, he's talked a few times this year about how difficult this process has been. Oh, he's had a good year, but by his standards, quote unquote, a down year because it's his first year in an offense he's never run before.
I have a hard...
for Haskins, it's a non-issue after he was starting to pick up another offense.
I think two things are happening. One, people are treating it as an insult to Haskins and are reflexively reacting to that, which we're trying to be very clear. This is not replace Haskins with anybody else. Second year quarterback sample A. I mean, who cares who it is? This is really hard to do. This is really, really hard to do. It's hard for anybody to learn a new system and a new offense. But a guy that's been doing it for longer than the NFL, who's had to learn new systems multiple times over, I mean, think of the Hard Knocks. You see the Case Keenum and his wife's quizzing him with flashcards. That ain't easy. Nothing's easy about it. And you're still learning to play at the highest level of this league. It's not like Haskins started all 16 games and four preseason games. He didn't get the experience that other guys did in terms of reps and, you know, kind of live bullets flying, so to speak. And the second thing is I have to believe that people don't kind of appreciate how difficult it is.
Well, I think that's definitely a
right?
thing.
Right? And I know that sounds pedantic and condescending,
Rodgers,
and I'm sorry. But
no, but you're right. I point to Rodgers. I don't think there's enough acknowledgement about how hard it is to play quarterback in this league and to pick up an offense and to know the intricacies and the nuances of it. Let's go to John in Germantown. Hey, John.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Got it.
I was wondering, do you think it's stupid or unrealistic to bring in a veteran quarterback, a proven veteran quarterback over the next, 2 years? You know, like, let's say Cam Newton, Alex Smith, maybe Kaepernick. I don't know who's out there. But to kind of help Haskins transition.
Well, the guys you're naming, I'll just keep Cam Newton. I think that was kind of the one realistic one. Kaepernick's not coming here and Smith's hurt and is already here. But Cam Newton's a starter. Like, you're not bringing a guy like that in to, quote, help. You know who can help Dwayne Haskins is Case Keenum.
And Alex Smith,
Colt
already
McCoy
in the building.
And Alex Smith. Like, those guys aren't a threat to him and can help him. If you're saying bring someone in to start and then he watches them, I think the cat's out of the bag on that. I mean, he's now playing. He was on the field. He was starting to improve. You took him 15, and after playing half of year one, he's going to not play in year two? I don't think that's realistic. Now, Rivera's here and Scott Turner's here. So there's going to be some speculation, I'm sure, now on Cam Newton, if he becomes available.
Scott Turner's here. The new Yan Gomes is here. Is that
might be.
Scott Turner's here.
But no, I would say this is Dwayne Haskins' gig. Should be, right? The last two games he played, he looked like a starting quarterback in this league. And it's only been half a year since you made him the 15th pick in the draft. Justin Arlington, what's up?
Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys. Hey, appreciate it. Long-time listener, first-time caller. Two things I want to just point out with Haskins that I think maybe are going overlooked with him. One is I don't think that the new O coordinator will affect his game. I think Haskins just needs to be more comfortable with the actual NFL football.
I mean, as we all know, the college football and NFL football are completely different sizes. But, you know, you kind of just look back. I think Lamar Jackson had an interview earlier this year where he said how his accuracy was so bad his rookie year because he wasn't used to just throwing in NFL football. And I think I kind of see that with Haskins. He's just not used to throwing that ball a lot. And I think the more he throws that ball, the more comfortable he'll be throwing it. Second thing I have is if you look over at the Browns and Baker Mayfield, they kept Freddie Kitchens because he worked so well with Baker Mayfield, and then we all saw how that turned out in year two. So I think the system, it could be a hit or miss, and, you know, we'll just have to wait and see, and then really, hopefully, I just hope Alex Smith plays.
It's a good point on Kitchens, but you made him the head coach. You know, this is why I was saying Kevin O'Connell shouldn't be a head coaching candidate. People were saying, make Kevin O'Connell the head coach. No, Freddie Kitchens was not ready, and it exploded in their face, and I don't know that Kevin O'Connell is, but keeping him in the exact same role you already know he can do pretty well, I think, is not the same as what happened with Freddie.
But I have a different takeaway from the stability in Cleveland. It's quote unquote stability. Obviously, they're not stable, but you know what I mean? By keeping some of the same guys in house, it shows you how hard this is. You added weapons. You kept the guy that was comfortable, and Baker Mayfield still regressed. You think he would have been better if you had a new offensive coordinator, a new guy calling plays for him in a new system? I mean, again, the only way to believe what everybody seems to believe is that this isn't that hard.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, I feel like we all know how hard it is. I mean, think of Carson Wentz, pedestrian year one, year two, they got one more year out of Frank Reich, MVP season until he gets hurt. They bring in a new offensive coordinator, much more pedestrian season. It's not a coincidence.
Let's go to Scott out in Redskins Park Country in Ashburn. What's up, Scott? Congrats on the new gig, by the way.
Welcome, Scott.
Thanks for having me on. I was just going to say that, you know, maybe this isn't all that in the and I think continuity is important. I would have rather have it, but we don't have that. So I think that tossing out all of the difficult versions of Jay Gruden's offensive play calling that he already had to deal with, which he had, obviously Kevin O'Connell had like shrunk that down and made it manageable for him, I believe. Hopefully, you know, putting in something that's less complicated, like learning, you know, less hard than learning Greek anyways, is going to be hopefully better, and hopefully he'll have the wisdom to pare it down and starting easily instead of the way Gruden was, like, throwing the whole book at him and making him, like, learn it all at once or you're not going to succeed. So
one benefit – oh, sorry, I think I cut you off. I didn't mean to. Sorry about that. I was going to let you hang on, and I got the trigger finger there. You can call back if you want. One benefit to this, Danny, is that they're both West Coast guys. Now, that in and of itself doesn't mean the offenses are the exact same, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they both have West Coast tendencies. They both have West Coast backgrounds in terms of Turner and O'Connell. So it's not like you're going to a completely different offense. But if the terminology is all different and a lot of the principles are different, it could be a big learning curve for Dwayne Haskins. The Nationals have made a bunch of moves in the last few days. We're going to talk about those transactions with a guy who covers the Nationals and a guy that we like a whole lot, Todd Divas, next. Also, are they still in on Josh Donaldson? We're Grant and Danny. You're listening to The Fan. Stretch run of Grant and Danny on The Fan. If you missed any part of today's show, our interview with Lorenzo Alexander was a lot of fun. You can go to TheFanDC.com or GrantandDanny.com/audio for our podcast, as always. But you should have the Radio.com app, and you can listen to the entire show via that app. You can also skip around and rewind the show. It's got on-demand option. Really, really cool. Go to Radio.com, rewind, open up Radio.com, find the rewind, and you can go back 24 hours. You'll never miss a moment again. On the Mattress Warehouse Hotline, Todd Dibas of NBCSportsWashington.com. Todd, I know you talked to Sean Doolittle yesterday, and he apparently told you he has been in contact with Josh Donaldson at some point. Tell us about that. Is the Josh Donaldson sweepstakes over for the Nationals?
Yeah, he has been because they're old friends. So a couple of weeks after the World Series ended, Donaldson texted Doolittle to congratulate him on winning the World Series because way back in 2008, they were in the Oakland system together. They eventually made it to the major leagues together. Sean Doolittle's third career appearance was thrown to catcher Josh Donaldson because starting catcher Kurt Suzuki was injured at the time.
Oh, wow.
They struck out 5 of 6 across the 7th and 8th inning to to which Donaldson still lays claim today. He takes responsibility for the efficient pitching there, according to Doolittle. So, you know, they have this kind of fun tie back to when they both started in the major leagues. So once Donaldson reached out to congratulate Doolittle about the World Series, and then Anthony Rendon moved on, Doolittle started texting him saying, you know, it would be great if you came here. Kind of the general kind of stuff that you would expect between, you know, a guy in a good environment who knows someone else, you know, and is trying to get a marquee player on his team. As far as is it over between the Nationals and Donaldson? I don't think so, but we're going to run into this dreaded acronym once again, the CBT, and the Nationals' willingness to go over the competitive balance tax threshold. If they're going to end up paying Donaldson, they're going to have to go over. They've been very averse to doing this in the past. We've seen recently that they've made a slew of moves so that they feel situated in case the Donaldson math doesn't work for them or he chooses to go somewhere else, kind of things that would go hand in hand. So I don't think it's over. I think it's still a possibility. Really, to me, the succinct phrasing is, do they want to be the favorite or do they want to be a contender? Because right now I think it's very clear that they're a viable contender, but there are other powerful teams in the National League, including one in their division who wants Josh Donaldson, and that's the Atlanta Braves. And if he goes back there, then to me the Braves are the division favorite.
Yeah, I'm looking at the individual. I like a lot of these signings. It was fine with Castro, like Cabrera for a year, like Kendrick a lot. Obviously, I love the Thames signing. But then you look at the big picture and you go, well, who's sitting behind Juan Soto or who's protecting him? And they got a lot of part-time pieces to sort of, you know, give Dave Martinez a challenge every day, Todd, to you know, to get guys enough at bats to keep them fresh, but also keep them healthy. You don't love their infield right now.
No, and well, certainly not defensively. You know, and you're losing Anthony Rendon, and we know how good Ryan Zimmerman is at first base. I think everybody still expects him to be back on some real low number and probably a one-year deal or a one-plus-one, however they want to kind of do the semantics there, because Zimmerman obviously is not overly concerned about that stuff, as he said publicly numerous times. But if he's not back for some reason, and then at third base, you go from Rendon and you don't get Donaldson and you're down to Asdrubal Cabrera or some Starlin Castro over there. And then the opposite corner isn't great. Then things get thin really fast defensively for them. But, you know, I agree with you that individually there are some interesting signings. It's given them depth. It's given them versatility. It's also given them a bunch of 30 plus guys again. Something I don't want to say they got away with last year, but in general terms, when you think about roster construction and you look at those ages, it would give you pause as a general idea in a vacuum, right? To say, well, we got a bunch of guys between 33 and 35, some of which will be, you know, 36 by the end of the season. And these are important guys. So it appears they're trying to protect themselves by varying usage. We'll see if that works out for them.
Todd Divas, NBCSportsWashington.com on Grant and Danny. The Nats have been busy. We started talking about Doolittle. The bullpen is better than it was at year's end, and somehow, some way, found a way to win a World Series with that group. But you've added Will Harris, who's been one of the better relievers in baseball for the last 5 years, who comes with some age. You kept Daniel Hudson, who got the two-year contract yesterday, so you've got those two with Doolittle in the back end. Maybe you're waiting on Rainey or Suero to separate themselves. Are they set in the pen now, do you think?
Yeah, I think they are. You know, and I totally agree with you, Grant. Like, the tenor around the pen just in the last 5 days has changed enormously, right? I mean, it was Sean Doolittle, and then what are we doing here? You know, Tanner Rainey seemed to be growing up during last season, but he was also forced to because no one else could get anybody out. And he throws 100 miles an hour, so, you know, you're in by default, if nothing else. In this case, they brought back two guys who it's a different strategy than last year. When they signed Trevor Rosenthal, he had a good workout. A lot of people wanted to give him money, but it was still a flyer because you didn't know what you were getting after the injury. When they traded for Kyle Bearclaw, who had been stepping backward for three consecutive seasons, a very low-cost trade, the international slot money, but still a flyer because you thought, you know, maybe you could change this guy's trend. Both those guys are obviously disasters. In this case, as you mentioned, Will Harris has been doing this the same way for a long time. He's not someone who throws 98, and now that he's older and he's only throwing 93 and he needs to figure it out, he's figured it out. It's cutter curveball. He kills left-handers. He pitches a lot. He's a known commodity. Daniel Hudson, same thing. I mean, last year, his work when he got to Washington was basically the best work of his career. So you expect him to kind of, and his FIP also tells you he should be come back a little bit, but still, older guy, you know what you got. Someone who was really, really good in the clubhouse and fit in right away. So, you know, it's kind of this known commodity philosophy this year versus taking a flyer and kind of hoping for potential out of two guys, which is what they did last year, and it blew up in their face.
Todd, awesome with us, buddy. Appreciate it. Enjoy the rest of your week.
All right. Thanks, fellas.
We'll see you, man.
Check out his work, NBC Sports Washington's Todd Dibas. If you're a Nats fan coming off the World Series, this is going to feel like a bit of a house money season anyway, but I think we have to fight against the idea that anything that happens is okay, because you basically have a couple more years where you might still be able to win one, largely with this group. I hate the overused phrase of a window closing or anything like that, but Max Scherzer is more of a question going into this year than he's ever been in Washington.
And that's not a criticism. It's just the reality of age and injury.
I think he'll be good, but this could be his last year as a really good starting pitcher for you, at which point that contract becomes a little bit more of an issue and somewhat debilitating to the overall process, no? So I think if you're the Nats, you got two more tries at this thing, which is why I want to see them go get Josh Donaldson. It just doesn't seem like they're going to be willing to, and the luxury tax is probably the biggest reason why.
This looks like Plan B in action, right? I mean, it looks like they've pivoted away. And so it's, remember that question that we asked the Mark Lerner. Hey, if Bryce Harper comes back, is that same offer on the table? And he's like, probably not. So I'm wondering if that's the case here, right? If they said, hey, we'll give you a competitive offer. Let's say it's, I don't know, we don't have any figures. We have guesses. 4 and 100. And he comes back and says, okay, I'd like to take it. They might go, you can't anymore. We got to restructure and do something else. I mean, to me, he's gone. And they moved on. They didn't want to wait around. I give Rizzo credit for that, by the way. They are not waiters. They do not sit there and wait for you and then not have a plan B. If they don't get their answer, they go to the next thing.
Will Kevin O'Connell become the next Sean McVay, Matt LaFleur, Kyle Shanahan? Young offensive mind everybody knew was an up-and-comer to leave Washington and go on to great success at some point as a head coach. He is leaving D.C. Won't be a head coach right away, we know that. How far off is he and what's next for him? We can get into that next on 106.7 The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.